Florida has become the first state to have a local transmission, likely through a mosquito, we will continue to put every resource available to fighting the spread of Zika in our state.
What we're hearing from U.S. Strategic Command is they believe there were two missiles. As you say, South Korean military earlier thought it was just one, but they say they believe that they are the Rodong missiles, an intermediate range missile. So certainly a big concern for those in the region when these intermediate range missiles are tested.
Bitfinex announced about 10 hours ago that there was a security breach. All we know at this point is that the exchange has confirmed that some clients have had their Bitcoin stolen. It is worth about $65 million.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday. It is the 3rd of August, 2016, 5:08. Good morning and welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. We have lots to talk about today, but we're going to start with some breaking news for you that is just coming in to the WGN newsroom. There has apparently been some sort of plane crash at the Dubai airport in the United Arab Emirates. The Mideast's biggest airline, Emirates, is confirming that a flight from India with 275 passengers on board has been involved in some sort of accident there at the airport in Dubai. We're going to briefly join Sky News, which is one of our partners, and listen to what they're reporting here. Let's listen.
We need more to decide what the cause of this was, indeed if it was a fire.
Yeah, but we can say with conviction, can't we, Mike, that the fire crews at the airport, and I imagine it's going to be very well resourced in terms of the fire response, they'll work to a plan that they've put into action as quickly as possible.
Oh, absolutely right. All international airports, in fact, all airports, but international in particular, have to have a minimum level of fire cover laid down. There are a substantial number of fire appliances of different types that deal with different types of fires or incidents. And they always, someone like Dubai is incredibly well-resourced, and they will be on the scene of any incident like this amazingly quickly, in a matter of a minute or two, basically. And don't forget, they're probably forearmed, because the pilots have radioed ahead and said, we need assistance, so the appliances are already in the vicinity of where the aircraft come to a stop.
Yeah, we're listening to Sky News, our partner in the UK on this broadcasting live again. There has been some sort of incident, possibly a plane crash or a plane fire at the Dubai airport of the United Arab Emirates. This is a huge business hub, so it is obviously a major business story today. It's obviously a big story. We're watching video of the airport. It seems to be hazy there. We can't make out very clearly the actual aircraft, but there is a large plume of black smoke coming up out of the scene from where we believe this aircraft is, with fire crews pouring foam and other retardants on this fire. We can identify this flight now as flight EK521. This is, again, United Arab Emirates flight EK521. It was on its way from the southern Indian city of Thiruvananthapuram, and it was on its way to, apparently, Dubai, where this incident is going on. The Sky News is reporting 275 passengers and crew have been safely evacuated via chutes and slides. We'll continue to monitor this story, obviously, as we get going. It is very uncommon for an airliner, especially what we believe to be an Airbus, to catch fire just for no reason. So we will obviously monitor this very, very closely. We've seen more pictures now of this jetliner lying on its belly on the runway. Possibly even a crash landing. All of this is very preliminary right now as we monitor this incident in Dubai. Stay with WGN and ABC News and Sky News. We'll bring you the very latest as we get it. Let's go first down to the WGN market desk. You heard Vic there with some of the numbers. Asian markets slipped today after U.S. stocks took their biggest loss in almost a month, underscoring simmering worries about global economic growth. Japan's benchmark Nikkei 225 slipped almost 2%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrials fell just a little, 0.5%, We're waiting today to see what we might find from the aftermath of auto sales. Several automakers reported declines in U.S. sales last month as hot weather and softening demand kept buyers at home. General Motors says sales fell about 2%. Ford's fell 3%. Toyota's fell about 1%. Fiat Chrysler sales flat. Volkswagen fell 8%. Sales were up for some automakers. Hyundai sales rose 6%. Honda's 4%, Nissan 1%. After six straight years of growth, U.S. sales, Ford and other automakers are starting to plateau. And the reason why is people have either bought their cars or they have stopped shopping. We'll continue to follow that story as well. Also today, Apple is disarming or at least dumping an emoji that depicts a realistic-looking revolver, replacing it with a brightly colored toy water pistol instead. Yesterday, if you were listening to the show, we told you there were about 100 new emojis coming to iOS 10. This is just one of the many that apparently has got a lot of gun control advocates up in arms and talking about this. Apple is dumping a handgun emoji again, replacing it with what appears to be a water pistol emoji as they push forward with their new iOS 10 system. Starbucks is recalling stainless steel straws. It sold in stores and online after three reports of children suffering mouth lacerations while using them. The Seattle-based company says about 2.5 million of the straws were sold in the U.S. About 301,000 were sold in Canada. The straws have a ridge at the bottom that keeps them from attaching to beverage, that keeps them attached to beverage lids. The company says people should not use those straws and get rid of them. You could be able to unlock Samsung's new phone by just looking at it. The Galaxy Note 7 will come with a scanner in it, an iris scanner, which matches patterns in your eyes. It offers an alternative to fingerprint ID and four-digit passcodes. Beyond that, though, the update in the notes are mostly enhancements, such as stronger glass. Even the iris technology isn't new, as Microsoft's Lumia 950 phones already have it. Of course, Apple is doing pretty much the same thing. They have not put on anything really new. They're just making enhancements to their new phone, which, again, we're expecting out later this year.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, I'm Dave Schreiber. Asian markets slipped today. Checking Wall Street, stocks posted their biggest losses in almost a month. The Dow fell 91 points, while the S&P lost nearly 14 points. The Nasdaq slid 46 points. The Dow has fallen for 7 days in a row. While stocks set records as recently as July 22nd, they've been trading in a very narrow range for the last few weeks. General Motors and Ford posted U.S. sales declines in July, while Fiat Chrysler reported a small increase. GM's sales fell 1.9% from the same month last year, while Ford said its sales dropped 2.8% for the month. The parents of Star Trek actor Anton Yelchin have sued the makers of Jeep Grand Cherokee that killed the 27-year-old when it rolled down his driveway and crushed him. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We want to update you again on a developing story that's happening right now in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. There has been some sort of plane crash. It appears a plane on its belly there at the airport. We've been told by the Associated Press, Reuters, and also others that this plane apparently has been evacuated. All of the passengers have been removed from this aircraft, but we have seen a video of the plane on its belly burning. This is happening again at Dubai, United Arab Emirates. The flight identification information on this is EK flight EK521, 275 people on board on its way from India to Dubai. Apparently crash landing that looks to be what it what's happened at the Dubai airport in United Arab Emirates. Stay with us. We'll continue to keep you posted on this developing story as we move through the morning. You probably heard this news yesterday that there is apparently no evidence, no full research evidence that flossing your teeth does any good, that it is something that we may have been told to do for whatever reason, no big research behind it. It's something that we have been taught to do for many, many years, since 1979.
Kids, how do we take care of our teeth?
Brush your teeth twice a day. Floss your teeth.
They even made cartoons about it back in the day with, you know, floss your teeth, brush your teeth. So what about this? Is it something that is a joke? Is it something that we should do? Is it something that dentists are still supporting? In all openness here, we want to say that, yes, it is something they're still telling people to do. My dentist is Dr. Kimberly Diocco. She runs One Mag Smile here in Chicago. And we spoke with her via Skype a little bit earlier about this. So, Dr. Diocco, did you see this report, first of all?
I saw that online. Actually, you know, although I don't have a lot of scientific research behind it, but just by seeing clinical patients, I do think that that is false, that statement, because I do think that flossing does make a difference.
So, and what are the differences you see in people that floss and don't floss?
You know, there are quite a few differences as people that floss and don't floss. There's, you know, people that do floss tend to have definitely healthier gums, tighter gum tissue, less inflammation, less bleeding when they floss, when they brush, and even when they come in for their regular cleaning appointments. And as well, you know, healthier overall mouth, healthy, you know, more pleasant breath.
I was surprised that there had been like no real official, you know, research on this. You just assume that that's what you guys do is this research. Are you surprised too?
Yeah, actually, I'm very surprised that there's no research backing this. You know, not that I look too far into today's news, but I'm sure that if we looked and dig deeper, we would probably find some research that backs flossing.
So what is the danger that you think might come from a story like this today?
I think that it'll give people the excuse to say, hey, I'm doing okay, and I don't need to do anything more to floss and to improve my oral health. I think what'll end up happening, though, if people have that mindset, is they'll come to the dentist, we'll diagnose more problems or issues. Some will understand it, but a lot of people may brush it off and say, hey, I think I'm doing just fine. And then they'll constantly have, you know, a snowball effect of problems in their mouth over time.
Yeah. And so, you know, I guess, would you urge your, whatever the academy is, I guess it's periodontology, to really do some research?
I do think they probably have to, take this a little more seriously, put a little more research, or at least find articles and research that may have already been done in order to back the dental community as a whole to say, hey, this really is important. Flossing does make a difference.
Because it's something that you tell all of us to do every time that we come in. It's been told for years and years and years. Is there any harm in continuing doing it, even if there is no scientific research?
There's definitely no harm in flossing without research. You know, it'd be hard to say what kind of research to be done, but if you could just even clinical observation alone, if that was a research project for a whole year, they'd be able to get their research right there, just to say, okay, X number of patients, they'll floss daily, X don't floss daily, and let's see the results even in 3 months' time. And there will be a marked difference. And that's something that actually can be recorded to be able to see levels of health.
In your own experience, if you could maybe give us like what you've seen personally in people that don't floss, I mean, what is generally their condition?
Generally, the condition of people that don't floss is more sensitive gums, bleeding gum tissues upon cleaning, scaling, and even probing. And a lot of times, while they may not bleed while they brush, they oftentimes will bleed when they do floss. So the tissue is just in a more inflamed state. So if you want a parallel example, it's kind of like having like a constant irritant on your skin or something, like a splinter. You know, it's there, it turns red and it's there, but when you take the irritant out, you know, it'll bleed for a little bit, but then it'll heal itself. The same thing with if you have plaque and bacteria inside and underneath your gum tissues, the flossing will take that out. It'll bleed for a little bit, but over time that'll get better.
And so if there's no scientific research this helps, you wouldn't be able to tell a difference, and you do tell a difference.
Yes, we definitely do see a difference, a very marked difference in people that floss.
How will this change what you tell patients?
You know what, I will be honest, I don't think it's going to change the change what I tell patients, other than, you know, saying clinically what I see, this does make a difference. I know I have probably a little more explaining to do now with the whole news of saying that, you know, there's no research backing the flossing actually helps, but there's something, there is a visible difference that we do see.
Dr. Kimberly Diocco via Skype this morning with us from Chicago from One Mag Smile. And again, full disclosure, she is my dentist. She made sure I made an appointment while I had her on Skype. So I have to go in, and thanks, guys, for having to do that.
From ABC News Tech Trends, more wind turbines are sprouting up in Iowa. At an event last week, Iowa Governor Terry Branstad announced that the state is investing $1 billion to expand its wind energy operations.
It's going to be able to help us in marketing Iowa to companies. Why should you locate in Iowa? Because we have low-cost, reliable, and renewable energy.
In addition to expanding the state's renewable energy resources, the governor says this particular project is expected to create 1,500 jobs during the construction phase. And Alliant Energy, the company partnering with Iowa, wants to expand to other areas of the country as well. Doug Kopp is with Alliant.
You know, our customers are telling us more and more that they want greener energy, so we're trying to meet that need and do it in a way that's cost-effective.
Kopp says the Iowa wind farm is just one part of the company's goal to cut carbon dioxide emissions by 40% by the year 2030. With Tech Trends, I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 539. Before we move on with our program, we just want to update you again on a developing story this morning happening at one of the busy business airports of the world, Dubai. United Arab Emirates jetliner has apparently crash-landed there. A flight EK521, according to reports, had just taken off from the airport, made an emergency return to the airport, and landed on its belly, bursting into flames. We've seen video of that. We're going to play just a little clip of what we have received so far.
Emirates 49, after landing, it took fire.
Yeah, it doesn't look too good. Emirates, please keep moving ahead, but take it with caution. We don't know what vehicles are out there.
You can hear the ground crews. They're talking about this. The airliner seen off in the distance with black smoke, even at one point an explosion. Apparently, the jetliner landed on its belly. There doesn't appear to be any nose gear. We believe everybody on board this plane, 275 people, did manage to evacuate. We'll continue to follow that throughout the morning. Back to the opening bell. The West Loop has become a really hot place. Just how hot is it? We're going to go to Curb Chicago to find that out. Jay Koziarz is the associate editor there. He's with us this morning on the opening bell. Jay, good morning. Welcome to the bell.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I always seem to pick the wrong neighborhood. I would love to live in a hot neighborhood. How hot is the West Loop?
Well, it's really booming right now. At our websites, chicago.curb.com, we monitor developments and things like that. And it seemed like almost every day we were getting a new project on the pipeline. So we went ahead and put together a pretty comprehensive map of what's under construction and what's proposed. And we're looking at really dozens of projects coming to this neighborhood.
Well, what is it that, first of all, how do you determine hot? At what point does it reach hot? And then what's fueling all of this?
Well, it really seemed to be fueled by this neighborhood west of the Kennedy Expressway becoming a place where people want to live, where they want to work, where they want to go out to the restaurants. And it's also becoming a place where out-of-towners want to stay.
And when you mean stay, just like in Airbnbs, hotels, because there's not a lot of hotels over there, are there?
There's a lot of hotels on the way, actually. Right. So a couple years ago, the Soho House opened in this neighborhood, and it really was kind of a pioneer in this area. We also have the Ace Hotel going in there, a hotel from Equinox brand fitness clubs, the Nobu Hotel, as well as, let's see, also the Hoxton Hotel, which is a brand out of London.
My last visit to the West Loop, I remember many years ago going, sometimes we go over there for the 911 center to cover stuff. We obviously, the United Center is a little further west than that. Harpo Studios, which we now know is gone. Mm-hmm. McDonald's going in there. It seems like a great residential area, but not a lot of things to do. Is that changing as well?
Yes, absolutely. The restaurant scene there off of Randolph has been strong for a number of years. That's only picking up. And another component to the development that this neighborhood has seen is new retail going in. Almost every new development is bringing in ground floor retail. And also some of the existing single-story landmark buildings are being rehabbed into new shopping as well.
Like what kind of retail are we talking about?
We're seeing a new Billy Reid opened up over there, Anthropology. There's talk of possibly getting an Apple store in that neighborhood, you know, things like that.
This obviously is a gamble that McDonald's is making on this area. They obviously see something big here, others as well, but McDonald's obviously the most high-profile one that we've been talking about. There is something there, then, and where there's smoke, there's fire.
Correct. I think a big part of the move from McDonald's coming to this neighborhood is really a change of culture to attract that younger talent that maybe wants to live closer to work, doesn't want to commute to the suburbs. This neighborhood is pretty much equal distance from some of the more traditional office space that you would see, you know, closer to Michigan Avenue and in the Loop, just in the opposite direction. So, you know, they're seeing some value in this neighborhood and really, you know, it could be a catalyst for attracting that younger workforce and really that change in culture I mentioned.
There's a double-edged sword here, though, because if a neighborhood becomes too hot, it could price out some of that talent. Is this something that the city is concerned about and that planners are concerned about?
I mean, you are concerned about striking that balance, of course, and that, you know, the neighborhood has seen, you know, land values certainly increase. A number of these new developments also due to, you know, city planners, or aldermanic influence are also, you know, instead of opting out the affordable housing component to other locations, are requiring, you know, at least that 10% minimum to be located on site as well. So that is something that they're taking into consideration.
What's the coolest thing that is going into West Loop, at least in your opinion?
The coolest thing, let's see here. Well, I think that Nobu Hotel certainly sounds pretty cool. Robert De Niro is a partner on that project, and he was in Chicago a few weeks ago for a groundbreaking that I was present at, and I was a little starstruck, and it just seems really cool to see a Hollywood celebrity like that taking interest in that neighborhood.
This sometimes gets a bad name, but people refer to this as gentrification. I remember when the West Loop wasn't hot. Talk to me a little bit about that part of this. Is this gentrification in the sense of it, in the pure sense of it, or no?
Well, yes and no. Obviously, you know, more people are going to be moving in there, and prices are going to creep up, and the nature of the neighborhood is going to change. I also think that a lot of the development going into the West Loop is being pretty sensitive to what the neighborhood was before. There is a landmark district as well where certain contributing buildings, you know, can't be demolished. And a lot of the new designs of the buildings are really looking at that kind of, you know, meatpacking district, warehouse district type of aesthetic to really, you know, kind of replicate or at least, you know, make a nod to, you know, the brick facades and the steel mullioned glass and things like that. So a lot of the character of the neighborhood, I think, is being, you know, respected. And not a lot of these developments are super tall as well. They're a little bit more to a human scale.
Jay Koziers is the associate editor of Curb Chicago, talking about the Hot West Loop, the Fulton Market District thrown in there as well. You can follow Curb Chicago on Twitter at Curb Chicago. Get more information about this at chicago.curb.com. Jay, thanks for being with us on the Opening Bell.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
5:50 back on the Opening Bell on the WGN Market Desk. The Dow futures pointing lower toward the Opening Bell later this morning, off 28 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures lower as well. Let's get a look at the latest on commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. A busy day in agriculture here in the Midwest. State fairs, the Wisconsin State Fair opening today at West Allis, and in Indianapolis, the Indiana State Fair gets underway. County fairs, we have two close into the Chicago area opening today, going through Sunday, the Kankakee County Fair in Kankakee and the McHenry County Fair in Woodstock. Meanwhile, crops just keep getting better. The weekly crop progress report yesterday and Monday putting more downward pressure. We saw a higher opening in the grain trade, but then a sell-off. Corn ended mixed, the spot month hitting its lowest level since October of 2014. Wheat hit a 10-year low below $4 a bushel, and the soybean crop just keeps getting better, and as a result, those futures posted the biggest declines. Long liquidation by funds in that soybean market. Livestock cattle futures extended gains yesterday. Feeder cattle rising to their highest in 1.5 months. Why? Falling corn prices. That means cheaper feed prices for cattle producers. And so we saw a little optimism that maybe slaughter weight cattle would bring higher prices in the Plains cash market this week. The lean hog contract, meanwhile, mostly lower yesterday, reversing from gains earlier in the session. And at the end of the day, most active October hogs down 7 cents a hundredweight. That's your money on 720 WGN.
All right. Thanks, Ori, and have a great day. Just before we leave you here, we want to let you know what's coming up on the day ahead on the WGN market calendar. No big economic reports today, but the National Urban League holds its annual convention in Baltimore. Civil rights organization will advocate on behalf of African Americans against racial discrimination in the U.S. Black Lives Matter, obviously, to be a big topic there, as will be the presidential race. Also today, the Star Trek convention gets underway. William Shatner will be there. And in Olympics action, believe it or not, the games actually begin today. Competition, as you heard Dave say earlier, begins today in Rio. Women's soccer matches 2 days before the official opening ceremony. No big economic reports, but we'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning here on 720 WGN. We want to update the situation involving this airliner. We'll obviously have more coming up on the top of the hour with news, but we have been told now by the Dubai airport there were about 285 people on board this aircraft. The number of passengers has been increased as they get the passenger counts off. Again, no fatalities in this incident. A 777 apparently making an emergency landing at the Dubai airport has caught fire. We've even seen an explosion on video there. All of the passengers appear to be off. It appears to be on its belly, making an emergency return to the airport, according to early information from Dubai Airport. Again, one of the busy business airports of the world. This flight apparently on its way to India. We'll keep following that story as well.